So a moment of transparency and a thank you first. So thank you for allowing the F3 Nation to use the church facilities yesterday. I want to share with you what was going on. So 2 years ago, in 2022, Taylor Phelps, who was the pastor at Cana Ford Baptist Church, started F3 with us. For those of you who don't know what that is, it's a workout group, but it's much more than that. It's fitness, fellowship, and faith. And there's several groups in Rome County, but Taylor, as the pastor of Cana Ford Baptist Church, reached out to me and wanted to know about it, so he got involved and tragically passed away in January of 2023, right after he started in November of 2022. F3 Nation contacted us and set up to where they videoed. The employee of F3 came with a videographer, and they videoed the workout yesterday and was going to video Taylor's wife, Andrea. They originally said that they wanted to video Andrea at her house. She thought that would be too hard. So we offered up the church. So yesterday afternoon, in full transparency, I had to clean up a lot of tears back here in this back corner because I was blubbering like a baby listening her tell Taylor's story. But thank you for allowing us to use the facility for that. That video, when it is available, we will post a link to it just so you can see it, because, not to promote F3, but she tells the gospel story that God gave her through the death of her husband. And so, again, your ministry goes well beyond just the church walls. And so please continue to remember her family. Obviously, it's just been a short time, a little over a year and a half now, and they're still struggling. But something that she said, and I don't want to steal her thunder, but this is so impactful. She said that God gave her and her kids a story, and it's a story of victory, a story where her husband saw victory in his passing when he met Jesus, and that they get to live to tell the story of how he impacted so many lives, including their own, and how Christ has carried them through this. So thank you again for allowing us to do that, and we will make the video available. But I did have to clean up a whole bunch of blubber back there, mostly mine. But also in transparency, I've told a few of you this in passing one-on-one, but please remember me every Sunday morning. I have aches and pains because I'm old, but there's only one day a week where my back tightens up to the point where I can hardly move, and it's always Sunday morning. And so if you notice, I don't sit down or bend a lot while I'm up here. And it's excruciatingly painful right now. Don't want pity, but just your prayers, because every Sunday morning, for some reason, the one way the devil likes to attack me, I guess, is being a pain in my backside. So my lower back is really tight right now. So just remember me with that. Mark chapter 4. We're going to continue our Deliver the Reality series. Last week, we saw where Jesus said that he was going to be the light so intense and so great that everything that was in darkness is going to be brought to the light and be open. And we saw how God will use that to purify. Light purifies, and the darkness has to run from the light. This week, Christ is continuing that, basically that theme of how everything is tied together, why he's teaching in parables, why he taught the parable of the sower in Mark 4, verses 1 through 20. This shows how people react to God's word when they hear it. This shows how they respond. And then he talks about the light that we saw last week. And this week he's going to talk about another agricultural reference that we'll get to. So let's read in our text, Mark chapter 4, starting in verse 24. And he said to them, "Pay attention to what you hear. By the measure you use, it will be measured to you, and more will be added to you. For whoever has, more will be given to him. And whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken away from him. The kingdom of God is like this," he said. "A man scatters seed on the ground. He sleeps and rises night and day. The seed sprouts and grows, although he doesn't know how. The soil produces a crop by itself. First the blade, then the head, then the full grain on the head. As soon as the crop is ready, he sends for the sickle because the harvest has come." Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, everything that is God-honoring, everything that is said and prayed and sung this morning that honors you, we pray that you will, by your Holy Spirit, bury it in our hearts as we grow closer to you. But anything that is said, sang, or even prayed that does not honor you, we just ask that it fall to the ground before it's even heard or spoken or sang. And dear Lord, we want to learn how important it is to grow closer to you and have a rhythm of steadfastness in our growth that so many people don't see the value in. They want the quick fix. They want the shot of gospel glory without understanding the steady diet of your word causes growth. And we just ask, dear Lord, that you be with this time. We pray that everything that is done here will honor and glorify you. We love you and we praise you, for it's in Christ's name. Amen. So we see in Mark chapter 4, verses 1 through 20, Jesus teaches the parable that we saw a couple months ago now about how he sows the seed of his word, and there are different types of soils that this seed lands on. One of them is a complete rejection. That type of soil is the path, it's the road. They completely reject God's salvation. They completely reject his word. They don't want to have anything to do with it. And because of their hard hearts, just to steal away the word, birds come in the parable and take away the seed. And that's how Satan takes away even the seed of God's word from even having an opportunity to go into the ground. The second type is on shallow ground, and it sprouts up very quickly but doesn't take root. It doesn't produce fruit. It gets emotional, but then they see how, because it is in rocky ground and shallow ground, that there's no root, and when the heat comes and the pressure comes, it fades away and does not produce fruit. And then the other one is among thorns, and the cares of this world choke out the reality of the gospel, and how they care more about what the world says than what God says, and they get taken out. But then there's some soil that is good ground, and God's word penetrates their hearts, and the Holy Spirit produces something in them. And last week we looked at the light, like I said, and this week we're going to see how Jesus, last week when we left him, says, "Those who have ears to hear," verse 23, "if anyone has ears to hear, let him listen." Then he says, "Pay attention to what you hear." Jesus is giving them a command here of make sure, if you're a Christian, that you pay attention to what you are hearing. If you say that you are a child of God, if you profess to be a child of God, and you have Christ in your heart, you need to pay attention to what you listen. Pay attention to how you live. He is encouraging them, commanding them to listen, because then he goes into verse 20, the next verse, verse 24, and he says, "Pay attention to what you hear. By the measure you use, it will be measured to you, and more will be added." On a positive side, what Christ is talking about here is as you gain knowledge, right? As you come into the light that we saw last week, as you gain knowledge and your knowledge grows, that's good. You're listening to what you need to be listening to. But he gives them an admonishment. He says, if you don't stay in the light, sin will dull that knowledge. Sin will dull the fascination you have with Christ. Sin will dull that love. And we see this, we can speak to this in our own lives. There are times, I'm sure, where you have felt like you've been on a mountaintop experience with God, and you've been there, and like Peter with the Mount of Transfiguration, where he said, Lord, it's good for me to be here. We have those times where God is tangible to us in a way that is just remarkable and it's amazing. And then there are times where we go through valleys, where maybe it feels like our prayers don't get past the roof and we seem far away from God. And maybe it's because of our sinfulness and what we hear, quote unquote, metaphorically speaking, that has taken us away from God. Because shortly after the Mount of Transfiguration, what happened to Peter? He denied the Lord and was far away from him for a while. And so Jesus here is commanding us to pay attention to what we hear, because what you use will be measured to you, and more will be added. If you stay in the light, if you stay in the light, and on the positive side, our measure consists of giving our time to God. And I'm not just saying, oh, I'm going to spend 500 hours in prayer every day. That's not what I mean. But living consistently in such a way that honors Christ by our vocations, by what we do, by our home life, by how we live. If we give him the measure of our time, he will give us more opportunity to use that time for him or our attention. And my mind races at a million miles an hour. And I'm already thinking about what I'm going to preach next week while I'm preaching this week, right? And my attention needs to be here. Maybe you're like me and you think, oh, right after the service I have to do this, this, this. This is on my to-do list. This needs my attention. This needs my attention. If we measure our attention span by giving God glory, then he'll help us focus. Or maybe it's our submission to God's word that is the measure that we need to be measured by. Maybe it's a time where, not legalistically, right, where you have to check a box, but the fact that you set your heart to the fact that you want to submit to God's word and you want to submit to his calling to you and what you need to do through his word. And if that is how you are measured, guess what? More will be given to you. More knowledge, more closeness to Christ, more moving of the Holy Spirit, more. Personal devotions, church attendance, intellectual application of the Scripture, intellectual and intentional application of the Scripture, where your heart is set on doing what is right when the pressure is on. Christ says, if you are my child and you measure with that, then more will be given to you. But if you don't measure with the positive, then sinful things will start to dull that shine, right? It will start to change what you think and do. And then that measure will be measured, and what little you have will be taken away. And that sounds harsh, but think about the reality of Romans chapter 1. Three times in that chapter, and you can read this on your own, but three times in that chapter, people start sinning, and it says, God gave them over to their sin. And instead of repenting, It lists some more sins. And then it says, God gave them over. Lists some more sins. And it says, God gave them over. So if you're being measured by sinfulness, measured by lack of repentance, and that continues, and you don't stay in the light and let God's word penetrate into your hearts, God will give you actually what you want. You need to come back to Him and apply the measure of positivity, the measure of His word to your life. So that's the measure. So Jesus gives them the command to pay attention to what they hear. And then He gives them another parable. Another agricultural example that they would know in this day and time. Look down in verse 26 again. The kingdom of God is like this. So He starts out by saying, I'm going to give you an example how the kingdom of God is. And He said, a man scatters seed on the ground. He sleeps and rises night and day. The seed sprouts and grows, although he doesn't know how. In your copy of the scripture, maybe the subhead there is the parable of the growing seed, or the parable of the seed, or something of that nature. My title, not in scripture, is the parable of slow growth. And the reason I say that is maybe you've heard, and maybe you've said it. I've said it. I'm not above anybody else. I've said it where it feels like I'm not getting fed in church. Maybe you said, I don't want to go to church because Ralton as a preacher is boring. He doesn't hoot and holler and all the varnish off of the pulpit. He doesn't jump around. He just actually gives us what God's word says. I want to feel good when I leave. I want to be emotional. I want to have that emotional high. And truthfully, there is nothing wrong with that because we should get excited about Christ and what He does. But getting excited and getting emotional because a song stirs our heart or a motivational speaker gives us something is different from God actually impacting our lives. Now, God impacting our lives makes us emotional, yes, and it stirs our heart, yes, but we shouldn't chase after those experiences. We should chase after the one who gives them. And Jesus here gives us the example of, again, after warning them, be careful of what you listen to. He says, this is the example of slow growth that God moves in people's hearts. And He gives the example of a farmer who sows the seed, and the seed is in the ground. The farmer goes to sleep. The farmer gets back up, and he looks the next day, and guess what? He doesn't see anything different. And this happens week after week, and then all of a sudden he sees a little part of the plant popping out of the ground, and it excites him. But it's taken time. And yes, we should look for mountaintop experiences, but our mountaintop experiences need to be all because we are slowly and diligently being in God's Word. Slowly and diligently, week after week, studying God's Word. Don't underestimate the fact, the example here that Christ has given of the farmer, don't underestimate the fact that this is step by step, one foot in front of the other, day and night, sleeps and rises. And it's patience and diligence. I made a comment here a while back. Somebody asked me what I think a successful church is. And you know, people ask when they say, you know, what do you do? And I tell them, you know, I'm a bivocational pastor. They say, oh, how many people are you running? It's a legitimate question, but it's one I always... It's not about the number of people in the seats. It's about how close the people in the seats are to Christ. Now, don't get me wrong. I would love to have a lot more people in the seats. But that's also on you guys. You got to invite, help me, right? But my thought of a successful church is when someone walks in this door, they know we're going to talk about Jesus. When someone is here, they hear Jesus sang about. They're prayed to. They hear Jesus proclaimed. And when they walk out, they're closer to him, regardless of the number. That's success. And we see the progression here that Jesus gives. Look, it says in verse 28, the soil produces the crop by itself. First the blade, then the head, then the full grain on the head. And there is a progressive progress, slow growth that happens. In this day and age, in the culture that we live, is different from the culture that Christ was telling them, because they understood that, and they knew that there is this patience and this time that it takes for this plant to grow. And while we realize that, we live in a culture where if it's not on our fingertips in our phone, it's too slow. And I'm not talking evil about phones, but that's just the culture that we live in, right? If we can't get immediate satisfaction, or if we don't come to church and emotionally be stirred each and every week, or whenever we want to come to church, you know, we have to have that emotional high. Again, nothing wrong with that. However, if you keep chasing that, you don't chase Christ. I would rather see someone come to this church for years, learn about Jesus, and 5 years later, 6 years later, 10 years later, say, you know what? I started going to this church and I learned something new this week about God. And I used to be a compulsive liar, but through the constant feeding of God's word and the proclaiming of Christ in song, I see that how I shouldn't lie. And God's worked on my heart. And I don't lie as much anymore. Or let's go a more drastic level. Maybe you have an addiction, or maybe you have an angry temperament or something of that nature, to where you are abusive to your family. And someone looks at you, you've been coming to this church after 2-3 years, they start to see a change. You have a smile on your face. You're a little bit more happy than you were 3 years ago. All because Jesus, week in and week out, is working on us. Slow transformation. And don't get me wrong. Jesus can change someone in an instant. And when salvation happens, it's an instantaneous thing. However, sanctification is a progressive, slow process. Because if it's not, we tend to jump around to the next greatest thing, right? But what does Jesus tell us here? It produces a crop by itself. First the blade, so there's a step. Then the head, there's another step. Then the full grain on the head, another step. And we see how our spiritual walk should be more and more growth, more and more each and every week. The fact that we come here and we hear God's word proclaimed should make us better than we were last week. Because here's something that, if you're taking notes, I want you to write this down. You didn't get here in your spiritual walk overnight. You may have been a Christian for a week. You may have been a Christian for a lifetime. In that time, if you have been listening to God's word week in and week out, God is working on you. Do not miss the application of slow growth. Because so many times we chase after the shiny object. So many times we chase after the what's next. And God's over here saying, just listen to what my word says and you will grow. We don't get to where we need to be without growing. We don't produce fruit until we grow. Jesus concludes in verse 29, he says, as soon as the crop is ready, he sends for the sickle because the harvest is come. So we as Christians are called to produce fruit. We are called to live a sanctified life. We have to grow steady. Eating steaks. I love that. I love eating steaks. It's great. But a hot dog will satisfy my hunger in a pinch. Maybe that steak isn't available in the depth of what God is teaching you. But the hot dog nugget that you learn in Sunday school, the hot dog nugget that you learn in a Bible study or praying with a friend or in your personal devotion continues to feed you and continues to sustain you and continues to help you grow. Do not underestimate the power of slow growth. As we conclude, I want to tell you an application story, right? It's one where you guys can relate, I think, but you see these talented athletes or talented superstars that make all this money and you think, oh, they have it all. And they have talent. But I grew up in the era of Larry Bird. And I remember him telling the story where he would stand outside on the concrete basketball goal that he had and just shoot foul shot after foul shot after foul shot after foul shot. My brother was a punter in high school, played for Loudoun High. And I remember him practicing for hours. I would shag balls for him, and I used to hate that. But he was a really great punter. He went on to play for Maryville College, and the Maryville Daily Times listed a group of athletes, the 100 greatest athletes of the 100 years of Maryville College, and he was athlete number 23. Now, being his brother, I had to rib him a little bit because how bad are your athletics department if a punter is the 23rd greatest athlete? But that being said, I also was proud of him because I knew the slow work he put in day after day after day to do what he had to do. Those examples are just examples of this process that Jesus is telling his followers, if you want to continue your growth. Mountaintop experiences are great, and we're going to experience them in our Christian life, but do not chase after them. Chase after me. Slowly, daily, week after week, year after year. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Father, there may be someone here this morning who is dealing with something completely unrelated to these scriptures. But your Holy Spirit is using these scriptures to deal with their hearts. And the slow discipleship process of walking alongside one another, proclaiming Jesus to one another, hearing God's word taught, prayed, sang, proclaimed from the pulpit, dear Lord, it's not flashy. It's not a shiny object, but it helps us grow and produces fruit, and fruit where if we are still here, if you haven't called us home in the harvest just yet, we still have a job to do to produce fruit for you. I thank you that we are able to study your word. I thank you we are able to be here together. I just pray for anyone under the sound of my voice right now or listening later, if they are dealing with anything, I pray they lay it at the foot of the cross and give it to you. Our lives, every breath we take, is all because of you. It's all because of the mercy and grace you give us day in and day out. Help us to never take that for granted. We love you and we praise you. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.